Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chicago's Legal Latte, a series of podcasts brought to you by Lavelle Law Limited. Throughout this series, the attorneys from Lavelle Law will share their answers to questions about a variety of topics for individuals and small businesses. To participate in today's discussion, you can email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com.
You know, as I do these podcasts each week, I always like to take a little time to provide a nice introduction and establish my topic and guest for the day. But sometimes it just seems like there's a lot to cover, and it makes me want to get right into the conversation. Today is one of those days because I think we have a very interesting and comprehensive topic, and we're going to take a look at employment agency hearings. Now, this is something that is new to me, and as I look through it, there's a lot to talk about. So here to assist, because you never want to rely on my knowledge here, is Lavelle Law attorney Heidi Kuffel. Heidi's been here before. I always look forward to our conversations. And Heidi, you know, it looks like we have an awful lot to cover, so how about if we just get right to it after we say a quick hello to you. Everything good with you?
Everything's good. Let's go.
Good. All right. So we're going to look at employment agency hearings and talk about the process involved. So to start, tell me about the types of situations that might lead to a hearing of this type.
Sure. So there's a lot of different employment agencies, and I just gave like a couple examples, just a Department of Employment Security, perhaps, or a Department of Labor. And say in the employment security, we're dealing more with unemployment insurance benefits. Maybe, you know, a worker has, or a previous worker has applied for those, and then their claim might be denied. Maybe they want to appeal it. They would be doing so with the Department of Employment Security. Department of Labor, on the other hand, maybe a former employee believes that they weren't compensated fully after leaving their employment with their former employer, and they want to file some kind of a wage claim, they would do so with the Department of Labor.
And just to be clear, the Department of Employment Security is an Illinois agency, if I'm correct. Department of Labor, is that federal or is that state as well?
Correct. So in that state as well, I'm sorry, the state of Illinois for both of them, yes.
Okay. You know, there's a very unique condition here, as it seems that these hearings, if I understand it correctly, can be conducted over the phone. Is that standard process for the way these are handled?
Yes, it is standard process, and it makes everything quite different. So they put on there, there's a lot of information that they will send to you via email, via mail. And that's something else that's kind of different. It's just getting your notification is usually through the mail. You know, like in lawsuits, you'd be served, and you certainly could serve someone, but usually the standard practice is receiving these in the mail. And in there, you'll get a notice of a telephonic hearing, and it lists your phone number that they're going to call you at, which is really important for you to make sure that's correct, because if for some reason you do not answer, they might dismiss the case, or if you're, say, the employer, they might just hear all of the evidence presented before them and you weren't there for it. So it can be very prejudicial. So make sure that the telephone number is absolutely correct on there, as well as obviously the rest of the information. But
so, you know, with materials coming in the mail and the event happening via a conference call, for lack of a better term, I guess, I don't want to make it sound informal. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, if you're involved, make sure you have the number, the number is correct, and you're able to answer. Is this something people would handle on their own, or are these hearings that someone should still have an attorney with them for?
Well, people certainly can and do handle these on their own, but having an attorney always, of course, has its perks as far as just being familiar with the administrative codes as well as any kind of, precedent or anything relating to your case. It's always helpful to have an attorney kind of guide you through. However, the notices are very friendly in that, you know, some of these even give you sort of a guideline of where to go on the department's website to help you prepare for the hearing so that you can inform yourself and so that, you know, you have an idea of what to expect and how to prepare. So there is some guidance given, but, of course, it's always, I think, very helpful to have someone with expertise guiding you through.
Yeah, and let's talk about, you know, some of the benefits there and the reasons why they might want to do that. You mentioned, you know, how to prepare for the hearing. What as an attorney, can you help a client with in terms of, first of all, getting ready for a hearing of this sort?
Sure. So, of course, you know, you want to be familiar with your code. You want to be familiar with any cases that are similar to your client's case. And then even though the technical rules of evidence aren't applicable in this type of hearing, they can be very helpful in just the overall structure and organization of the hearing. And even though, like I said, those aren't in effect, the hearing runs very similarly to how sort of a mini trial would run, in that the administrative law judge gives you an opportunity to have an opening statement. You are given the witnesses or parties are sworn in. You are given an opportunity for direct examination, cross-examination, and also presentation of any exhibits. And maybe I should back up there on exhibits.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah,
you're given the opportunity.
Let me take you back even further, because you just kind of gave us a great deal of information there, and I want to kind of walk through that a little bit. First of all,
sure.
If someone has an attorney representing them during the course of the hearing, does the attorney take the lead? Are they able to sort of be the respondent to the hearing, to the judge or whoever it is, or is it more the individual and the attorney is kind of just there helping them in the background?
That is a great question. So as far as answering the questions, a lot of it is your client actually speaking during this. And then as far as providing the questions, like the questions to the other side, the attorney mm-hmm. will be asking those, but answering is mostly your client. So there's a lot that your client's saying. And then as far as setting up where your client is going to be at the time. I've had experience before where my client is at another location on the phone, and then I've also had experience where your client is actually here in the same office with you, and you can use speakerphone. But speakerphone can be kind of difficult sometimes to hear as well, because you don't want any background noise with so many parties on a telephone conference.
Okay. Wow, this is actually pretty fascinating. We're talking to attorney Heidi Kuffel. We're discussing employment agency hearings today. And I really didn't give Heidi her due at the beginning of the discussion. I want to make sure that everyone understands that she is an associate at Lavell Law and does a lot of work with the Employment Law Practice Group there, among others. And if you have not seen in the past, you may check out their website at lavellelaw.com. You'll find several great articles posted by Heidi recently in February. She often adds new material there, so I do suggest to be a frequent visitor to kind of catch up on some of the new topics that are being covered. And today we're covering a new one here on the podcast. Now, take us through the conference call. You talked about the process and proceedings, and you mentioned a couple of key factors. Let's start with documentation. If you or the client has received materials via the mail and you have documents that you want included during the hearing, is that something you send off in advance and make sure everybody has a copy of and then you refer to during the course of the hearing?
That's exactly right. And usually the notification you have will tell you how the time period of when the administrative law judge needs to receive that information, as well as the opposing side. And it's extremely important that when you're going through these documents that they're legible and that they're easily referenced. And, I mean, when you have just the phone as your communication, you just want to make sure that everyone that's pulling up these documents can easily get to them and that you don't have to take a long time to try and describe the documents. They should be clearly labeled. And, you know, if that is too burdensome and does take too long, sometimes, you know, there's only a designated amount of time set for these hearings, and the administrative law judges are very busy and have, you know, busy schedules. They will, you know, say, look, we're going to have to continue the remainder of this hearing because there's no more time. I have to, you know, I've got another matter. So it's just I can't stress enough the importance of presenting those exhibits on time, getting those into everyone's hands on time, and also making sure that they are clearly labeled and are organized in a way that makes sense to how you're presenting your case.
Okay. And then did you mention witnesses? Are witnesses allowed? And if so, is that another person dialing in then?
Yes, witnesses are allowed, and usually I've had the witnesses are usually at the same one of the locations that someone else calling in is also in. And I should also say too that everyone is sworn in at the beginning of the hearing, and that everyone gives consent to recording the hearing as well. So it's very similar to what you would have if you were present in court physically.
Okay. And, you know, again, I don't mean to make this sound more complex than it is. It sounds like you've handled these in the past, and I'm sure with the right experience can do that. But is it made more complicated if there are more than one issue at stake, or is there only one thing that can be handled in each of these hearings?
No, it can make it more complicated when there are more issues. Many times they're related to one another, so it seems to flow, and you do have a lot of similarities. But on the information you receive, they will say exactly what is being covered at that hearing. Sometimes it won't be everything that you currently have before that department, so you just want to make sure that you are aware and that you do pay attention to what exactly the topics are.
Okay. And is this administrated by, is this a traditional judge, or are these administrators with, you know, background in these types of cases that work on these? I mean, who runs this trial, for lack of a better term?
Sure. So they're administrative law judges. And what's great about administrative law judges is that they work solely in the area that they are currently in. So they know the ins and outs and have seen all of the different types of cases in their area. So they're literally like expertise in the area that they are that they have control over.
Yeah, you've got the right people then. And if time is an issue, if there are fixed amounts of time for these, do I assume then that when the time is up, if there is a time, or maybe it goes on until everyone presents everything, does that administrative hearing judge then simply at the end say, all right, here's where I think we land, or do they go away for a while and come up with a response and verdict, if that's the right term here?
Sure. That's a great question, because I think that many times the expectations are, well, after this hearing, I'm going to, you know, at least have, you know, some kind of finality, and everything will be at least, you know, have that, some kind of resolution. And that is not the case. These decisions and orders can take a very, very long time, and you need to be patient waiting for it. But the judge will let you know when to expect the decision, but, you know, sometimes it might be, you know, a couple months. So you just have to know that going into it, and know that it's not going to be resolved that same day.
And whatever they determine, is that binding, or is this like other law proceedings where there might be an appeal process afterwards?
There usually is some kind of, and again, they're very good about communicating that as well in their decisions and orders. Your right to any appeal, or perhaps a motion to reconsider the ruling in the case.
Okay. Well, we're getting near the end of the time here, so I think, you know, main takeaway for me is a very different process, but one which, although it's different and maybe not may not feel as formal, certainly an attorney is a good choice if you're heading into one of these. Anything else we didn't get to, or any other things you want to cover before we let you go today, Heidi?
I don't think so. I think we hit it in that short amount of time. So
great. Great. Well, that was, as I said, very informative, and certainly appreciate Heidi Kuffel being with us. It's always great when she comes by and takes a little time to talk with us. So we certainly appreciate that. And as I said, we had this kind of rush to get through everything today. I hope it's been informative. If not, you can always re-listen to these podcasts at lavellelaw.com, on iTunes, or Blog Talk Radio. And again, don't forget to visit the website for articles and other information as well. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. If you have any questions or topics for a future episode, please call Lavelle Law Limited at 847-705-7555 or email us at podcast@lavellelaw.com.